Everyone in this room, everyone listening to this sermon, everybody watching, there's something in our lives that we want changed. Now, I don't know what it is. You know, for some people, it could be, you know, a physical thing that they're battling. For other people, it could be an emotional thing. For some folks, it could be financial. For some people, it could be, I don't know, an employment issue. I mean, there's something. All of us in here, we've got something we want changed. Maybe it's a habit and a behavior, but there's something. We know what it is. God knows what it is. Maybe nobody else knows. But there's something there that we want changed in our lives. Well, this thing that we want changed. You know, I'm going to share with you tonight some principles that will help you see this change. But, you know, a lot of Christians, they have this odd idea that whatever they want, God will do. Well, it doesn't work that way. You know, there's nothing in the Bible which says you must have a spouse. It's not in there. But a lot of Christians seem to think it is. And every now and then I've been contacted by people, you know, well, Brother Martin, you know, I want a spouse. You know, pray that I'll find a spouse. Well, I'm not going to do that. What I'll do is, you know, I may reply something like this. Well, how do you know you're supposed to get married? One fellow emailed me, talked about wanting a wife because, you know, I need a wife before I can go into ministry. So obviously my reply is going to be something along the lines of, well, where do you see that in the Word of God? How do you know that you're supposed to be married? That sounds simple, but for a lot of Christians, that's a real challenge. Because when we want something and we don't deem that something to be sin, then we figure we should have it, no matter what. Well, now think about this. This thing that you would want or that other people want. Think about your own life. What it is that you want to see change. Whatever that thing is, it absolutely, positively must line up with God's will and His Word. Because if it doesn't, He's not going to get involved with it. And you're going to be asking God to do something He's not going to do. Think about that thing of the spouse, for example. You know, oh God, you know, give me a spouse, give me a wife, give me a husband, give me a wife, give me, I claim a wife, I claim a husband, and so forth. And God is saying, you know what? I'm not helping you out on this because you're too focused on wanting a spouse and you're not focused enough on doing my will. So if you find somebody and you marry them, man, that's on you. But I am not going to be involved with that. Your priorities are out of order. And besides that, there's nothing in my word where I said you have to have a spouse. But whatever it is that you want, it has to line up with God's Word. God's Word is revelation of His will. Now, when it comes to this thing that you want to see change in your life, what does God's Word say about it? Or are you just going by what somebody has told you the Bible says? Do you know for a certainty that there is something in the Word of God that deals with this very thing that you want to see take place in your life, this change that you want, whatever it is? You know, oh, Brother Martin, please pray for me. Pray for me that I get a new job. Well, why do you want a new job? Well, because I'm the only one there that's a Christian, and all these sinners, all they do is cuss and tell dirty jokes, and I just can't take it anymore. You know, I want you to pray that I get a new job. You know, I'm not going to pray that. You need to be right where you are. Well, how can you say that, you heartless, cold pastor? How in the world? No, hold on here. You need to learn how to deal with being around sinners. and that hasn't happened yet. You are allowing their lost condition to impact your emotions beyond what should happen. You know, okay, so they cuss, they scream, they yell, they talk about, boy, last night, and all this other. And that just bothers you. Well, it bothers God too. But how do you know you're not the person that God wants in there to lead those people to Jesus Christ? But you're so caught up in yourself, you're missing what God wants to do. So no, I'm not going to pray for you to get another job. What I'm going to do is pray for you to understand what's going on and to grow in the Lord so that this kind of stuff isn't controlling you, which it is to a point right now. So whatever it is that you want changed in your life, what does God's Word say about it? Now, right then and there, a lot of people are going to say, well, I don't know. I mean, somebody told me, or I heard, or, I mean, and then they'll tell you something. Okay, hallelujah. What does God's Word say? What does God's Word say about what you want changed in your life? Turn over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, take a look, one verse, verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple, or it giveth understanding, perception, insight, discernment, clarity, where there previously had been none. The entrance of thy words, okay, that means the word needs to enter. Meaning, if the word hasn't entered, how do you know that what you're seeking is truly of God? How do you know that this is what God wants for your life? That what you're praying for and believing for is a change that lines up? Well, let's say that you have a bad habit. Yeah, okay, you know that doesn't line up with God's Word. Okay, praise God. I want to be free from this. I want to, okay, I agree. I understand. That's praise the Lord. But what does God's Word say about you being free from that habit? What does God's Word say? Well, I know He wants me, you know, to be free from that. Okay, how do you know that? Well, because it's not a good thing. Well, how do you know it's not a good thing? Well, because it's not doing my body any good. Okay, but what does God's Word say about you being free? What does it say? And see, this is where a lot of Christians, they're coasting on what they think God said, what they heard somebody else talk about, what they think God said, and so they make that their scripture. But you have to know what God's Word says. The entrance of His Word brings light and gives us understanding and clarity and discernment concerning His will relative to what we want to see change. Now look over in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Look here what Jesus says, one verse. He says, verse 7, if ye abide in me, now look at this, and my words abide in you. Abide, that means remain, dwell. They stand firm. They are steadfast within you. My words persevere in you. If my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. But the key is His words. Because when His words abide in you, then you are asking out of His words, not out of what you think He said, or what you believe should be the right thing. Yes, it is true. God wants you free from the bad habits. But what has He said about being free from the bad habits? What has He said about this other stuff? Look over in 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, in God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Well, this is very similar to what Jesus said in John 15, verse 7. If we ask anything according to His will, another way to say that would be if we ask anything according to His word, then He's going to hear us. God responds to His word. He doesn't respond to what we think is His word. He responds to His word. Oh God, I want to be free from this thing. He says, okay, yeah, well, I want you free too. Oh God, I want to be free. Oh God, I want to be free. Well, see, there's another place in Scripture where God says, put me in remembrance. Put me in remembrance of my word. Okay, so it would be like God saying, okay, what did I say to you about you being free from that? Well, God, I know you want me free. Yes, I want you free. But the entrance of my word gives light. And if you ask anything according to my will or my word, which needs to abide in you, then I respond. So now, let me just kind of give you a hint here. There's this verse in Scripture that talks about bondage or chains being broken. Now, I'm just alluding to it. I'm not quoting from it. So what you need to do is you need to find that verse in Scripture. You need to find where God has said that bondages will be broken. Chains of bondage will be broken. You need to find that because that's where God has declared your freedom. That's where God has said, here's how it works. This is my word to you. Father, I thank you so much that the chains are broken. I thank you so much the bondage is broken in my life. You know, whatever that bondage would be concerning you. Now, this leads, though, to something else. If what you're saying you want, the change that you're seeking, that you say you're seeking, if it lines up with God's word, do you really want it? Or are you saying you want it because you know that's what you're supposed to say? Look, there have been a lot. I'll use one that I've heard people talk about, Christians now, smoking. Well, I know I shouldn't do it. No, you know, God, I thank you that this habit is broken from me, the bondage of this thing is broken, blah, blah, blah. Well, the thing is, they don't really want to stop. And I've heard Christians testify about that. You know, on the one hand, they talk about, yeah, you know, I shouldn't do this, and praise God, I'm free, and, you know, whatever all they say. But then later, they talk about, I really didn't want to quit. I really didn't want to stop. And I've never smoked, so those of you that have smoked, you know, you can understand, I guess, I never really wanted to in the first place. But see, it wouldn't just be the smoking. It could be anything. Because even if God's word says such and such, yes, amen, concerning the change you want to see take place in your life, if you really don't want it, then you're just, you know, talking. It's not coming from your heart. You just want to look good in front of everybody. And you want them to think that you're really pressing into God when, you know, you're not the way you say. So you have to want this. Now, let's say that you really do want it. Whatever it is, you want this something to change in your life. Well, you have to decide that you want it. And you've got to find the Word of God to support it. You can't just go on a sermon. You know, well, Pastor Jim said in his sermon, well, praise the Lord for Pastor Jim. But you need to find it in God's Word for yourself. You need to get into the Word and find out what He has said. Well, I don't know the Bible. And I don't, you know what? There are free Bible study programs you can download to your computer where you can type in something and it will pull up verses relative to that something and you'll find it. Okay, if you want it, you'll find it. That's just the way it is. If you want it, you will find verses relative to the change that you want to see take place in your life. So now, you've decided you want it, for sure. I want this thing, whatever it is, I want this to change my life. And then you find verses in Scripture that identify, okay, yeah, this is God's will concerning such and such and whatever. Well, now comes the hard part. You have to focus your thoughts and your speech on the change. I'm telling you, this right here is the make it or break it in the life of a Christian. You absolutely, absolutely must focus your thoughts and your speech on the thing you want changed. Whether it's a habit, finances, health, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, you have to focus your thoughts and your speech on the change. And this one right here, this is where so many Christians blow it. They say the right things. Yeah, I want to change. I really, and they do. They want to see something changed in your life. And they know that there's God's word. They've seen God's word relative to the thing that they want to see change. But when it comes to their thoughts and their speech, that's where it ends. Right there. That's where it ends. And it never goes any further because they're not focused on the change. Look over in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Now in this passage, it's talking about the fact that God made a promise to Abraham and that Abraham was trusting God and so on. And it says here in verse 18 that Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now look at this. Abraham, against hope, okay, well, what was the against hope? Everything involving his body and Sarah's body. The deadness of Sarah's womb and his physical inability to help her get pregnant. Okay, we'll leave it at that. Meaning, neither one of their bodies were at a place of baby-making function. That was the against hope. So there was absolutely nothing in the natural that said this can happen. Nothing. Nothing in his body, nothing in hers. There was nothing that said this can happen. However, it says he believed in hope. Even though his physical diagnosis was, it can't happen, it's impossible. And I'm sorry, Abraham, Sarah, but this is not going to happen, ever. But yet it says he believed in hope. Now, why did he believe in, or first off, what was it that he believed in hope? That he would be the father of many nations. But why did he believe this? According to that which was spoken. Well, who was it that spoke it? God. God said, so shall thy seed be. So shall your offspring be. You'll be the father of many nations. God is the one who spoke it. And so now here, his body is incapable. Her body is incapable. And yet he's saying, I'm going to have children. Sarah and I, we're going to have kids. His name was even changed from Abram to Abraham. Her name was changed from Sarai to Sarah. You know, they changed everything about them except their physical condition. But God's word said, you know, here's an interesting perspective. Have you changed your name? Have you changed your name from addicted to free? Have you changed your name from sick to healthy? Have you changed your name from maimed to made whole? Now, I know that's kind of abstract, but you understand the concept here. Have you changed your name? Well, Abraham took what God said to him, and he grabbed a hold of it, and he said, there's no evidence of this, there's no proof of this, but God said it. And so therefore, that is my hope. My body is against the hope, but God's word is now my hope. And so therefore, I put my hope and my belief in what God's word says, in spite of everything in this natural world which says impossible. And so he put his faith in this. Now, that brings up a question. You know, do we believe according to that which was spoken? Well, what do you mean? What was spoken? You've got it in your hands right now. The Word of God. This is the Word of God. This is what He has spoken. So now, do we believe like Abraham according to that which was spoken? Because if we don't come to that place of believing it, in spite of everything our body, everything our finances, everything our job, everything that whatever it is we want changed, in spite of every aspect of that which says it can't happen, do we take what was spoken and that becomes our hope and that becomes our belief? Because if it doesn't, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Well, if you look over in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're still talking here about our thoughts and our speech had to be focused on the promises. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look here at verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If you're going to see the change take place, whatever you're believing for, you absolutely, positively can never permit a mental picture of failure to dwell in your mind. You can't. You can't. Oh, I tell you what, these feet of mine, I don't have any problems with my feet, but I'm giving you an example. Oh, I tell you what, you know, if it don't get no better, I'll end up in a wheelchair. I can just see it now. Okay. And then the next thing, but thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Wait, no. No. You've got to cast that imagination down. Oh, the alarm clock's going off. Time to get out. Oh, man, I hope this isn't another one of those days. And then you rerun yesterday and how bad everything was yesterday. So now you're programming yourself to have another yesterday. Look, there are too many Christians that just toss this kind of stuff aside and they say it doesn't matter. But if it didn't matter, God wouldn't tell you to cast the imagination down. He wouldn't tell you to bring into captivity, you know, every thought that is opposed to the knowledge of God. Well, what is the knowledge of God? That the bondage has been broken. The chains have been broken. That I've been set free. According to what God's Word says, He supplies all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. According to what God's Word says. Okay? That's your imagination. That's what you're supposed to see. Whatever Scripture says about whatever you're believing or that you want to have changed, that has to become your imagination. Well, I tell you what, it just, man, I'm telling you, the older I get, the worse things get. Okay, you've already got yourself parked in a nursing home somewhere. And quite frankly, anybody like that, I'm not so sure they deserve any of us to push them around in a wheelchair. You know, you stood in agreement with this wheelchair 5 years before you were in it. And now you want my sympathy? Well, my sympathy is that you didn't listen to this sermon when you had a chance to. See, our bodies are aging. I get it. And they're not glorified. I get it. And yes, there are going to be challenges we face as we get older. I mean, Sarah and Abraham, perfect example. This kind of stuff goes on. But outside of the normal aging process, we don't have to put up with a bunch of junk. Now, maybe I can't run the 40-yard dash as fast as I used to. I can walk it. Do you see what I'm getting at? Listen, there are too many people, Christians, that have beaten things in their life and proven the Word of God. But I don't have to look unto them. I have to look unto what God has said in His Word. That is my proof right there. That is my imagination. That is my thought. That's what this right here is what I'm supposed to live by. You know, I heard a story one time about a lady. She, you know, wanted to be healed. I mean, she's in a wheelchair. Wanted to be healed. I want to be healed. She's in her 70s. Wanted to be healed. Been in a wheelchair for several years. And the preacher was talking to her, and he was ministering to her, and you know, he'd prayed for her, and other people had prayed for her. And it wasn't that she was denying, but she was not accepting what God said in His Word. And so this preacher, I mean, in a service one night, he focused on her. When it, you know, sermon's over and he's ministering to people, praying for people, whatever. I mean, he went to this woman and he takes time. He's talking to her and everybody else is listening in. And he got over there where it talks about by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. And he's, now, you see this. Here it says, look at this. Look at, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. And so he's encouraging her with that verse. Boom, it hit. And she said, yeah. If by Jesus' stripes I was healed, then I am healed. If by His stripes I was healed, then I am healed. If I was healed, then I, and it hit. And you know what? She had her healing manifest in her body and got out of that wheelchair. It became her imagination and her thought. She thought she was trusting God when she really wasn't. Because in her mind, I'm not healed. There is no healing. No, I believe I receive my healing now. I believe I receive my healing. I call it manifested. I am no longer Abram. I am Abraham. See what I'm saying? And her healing manifested. After years of being in that wheelchair, her healing manifested. And she got up. And I mean, got up and she's prancing around in front of the whole congregation. Now, we cannot permit that mental image of failure. It doesn't have to be healing. I mean, it's anything. It could be anything, all right? Failure is the opposite of what God has promised. Okay, think of it like that. So we cannot get a hold of that mental image, and that's what we see. That cannot be the thought in our minds. Even if all the circumstances disagree, God's word is life. God's word is power for change. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. See, some Christians, they get this weird thing of, well, you know, you're just denying circumstances. No, I'm not. What I'm doing is exalting God's word over the circumstances. I mean, look, in the natural world, the circumstances are real. It's right there. The habit is there. The broken leg is there. The whatever it is that people are battling, the financial situation, whatever it is, okay? That is a natural world reality. It is a natural world truth. But there is an eternal God truth that is opposed to it. That's the one I want to focus on. Now here in 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him because He careth for you. Casting all your worry, all your anxiety, all your frustration, all your fear, all your fill in the blank over on Him because He's got the whole world in His hands. You understand what I mean? He's got your whole world in His hands. He cares for you. This is amazing to me. But right now, as I stand here, I am the only one God cares about in this whole world. Right now, where you're sitting, you are the only one God cares about in this whole world. Do you understand what I mean by that? In other words, you have 100% of His attention. But so do I. Well, how can it be like that? I don't know. When you're God, you can do those things. He cares for us. So casting all of my care over onto Him. Every part of me that wants to say it's not going to happen, it's not going to change, it's not this, that, and the other. No, I cast it over onto Him. All my worry, I cast it over onto Him. And this goes right along with Philippians chapter 4. Turn back over there. Philippians chapter 4. Let's pick this up in verse 6. Be careful, fretful, anxious, fearful, worried for nothing. But in everything, by prayers and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And if you have done verse 6, then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep, shall guard, shall watch over your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, a good confession, a good profession, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think, meditate, focus your attention on these things. See this? And this is where so many Christians, they know how to say the right things, but they're not doing this. Because if you do this, you get the results. But we're so used to not getting the results, and we're so used to doing the opposite, that we question if these results will really take place. But if you do verse 6, then verse 7 will take place. And then he says, to maintain the verse 6 perspective, do verse 8. Keep your mind, your imaginations, totally focused on what he has said in his word. Because everything he has said in his word is true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good profession, confession, good report, virtuous, and so on and so forth. That's his word. Let that create your mindset, your thought, your declaration, your profession. See, there are so many people, Christians, they oppose this standard. And the ones who do oppose it, they're going to be known. You will know who they are. See, well, how do you figure that? Because they're going to talk about their pain, their discomfort, their frustration, their anger, their worry, their anxiety. And here's the thing. They become so comfortable exalting their problem, they don't even realize they're doing it anymore. Because that has become, if you will, second nature to them. And they no longer, but if you ask them, do you believe God's, yes, by Jesus' stripes I was healed. Yes, I was. But then you hang around them long enough and you're going to hear about the bum shoulder. You're going to hear about the bad finances. You're going to hear about the lousy job. You're going to hear about whatever it is. The very thing that they say they want change, and the very thing that they say they're trusting God for change, is the very thing they are exalting in their life. Because you see, if you're doing the cast the care over onto Him, if you're allowing His Word to formulate your images and your thought process concerning the thing that you want changed, if you are doing Philippians 4:6, and then focusing on Philippians 4:8 as a result, your whole perspective of what you're fighting is going to change. You're not going to worry about your bills. Now, it doesn't mean you ignore them, because they have to be paid. It's a commitment. I mean, you need to pay them. But you're not going to lay in bed at night, oh God, what am I going to do? How are we going to pay these bills? How are we going to pay these bills? But I'm trusting you. Good night. No. No. You go to bed at night, Father, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I thank you that, you know, you're able to make all grace abound unto me, that I always have all sufficiency in all things, and I abound unto every good work, and every good work includes paying my bills on time. Now, Father, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you know, that's not my worry. I'm not going to try to figure this out for you. I'm going to let you figure this out for me. You never sleep and you never slumber. Okay, it's yours. Good night. Do you get this? This is the approach. And there are so many Christians, like I said, they are so used to exalting the problem. Well, it was a bad day yesterday. Or, boy, today's been worse than yesterday. Or, whatever, whatever. They don't realize they've come to the place to where that thing they want changed has become the greatest occupier of their heart. They don't get it. And this is why this whole concept, what I'm sharing with you right now, this is the biggest part of the battle in receiving the manifestation of God's promises in His Word. It doesn't matter what the circumstances say. All right, here's one for you. You know, the Bible says that the maimed were made whole, right? That word maimed, it means people that, I mean, their bodies have been disfigured some way, somehow. So then, if somebody is in an accident and they lose a leg, is that the end of it? Do you realize God can give you a new leg? Now He can do this. It has happened. He can do this. If Jesus made the maimed whole then, He can make the maimed whole now. Every doctor on planet Earth will tell you it can't happen. You can't grow a new leg. Well, wait a minute. There are creatures out there. If you cut their head off, they grow two more. You know, you got worms out there. You split them down the middle and they become two worms connected as one. I mean, this is weird. Okay, well, you know what? God knows how to do things with molecules. Now I can have a new leg. I heard a story. I mean, you can believe this if you want or dismiss it. Heard a story. A guy had an artificial leg. And in a church service, he got prayed for. And that artificial leg became a real leg. If I remember correctly, it was R.W. Shambach that prayed for this guy. It was in a service down in Texas. And he got a real leg. Too many Christians, oh, okay, you said it, Brother Martin, I don't know about that one. Well, you know what? That's our problem. Right. All things are possible with God. Well, then believe it. You know, don't quote it to me and then turn around and get that, I don't know, look on your face. With God, all things are possible. And Jesus said, nothing is impossible to him that believes. Nothing. Nothing. Obviously, it has to be according to God's Word. Look over in James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Look, there are things I want to see changed in my life. There are things I want to see changed in this ministry. Everybody's got something they want to see changed. Well, it can happen. This is what I'm trying to get across. It can happen, but we've got to rely on what God has said. Here in James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. A lot of people just say, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. All right? Well, have at it. But the first thing it says here is, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Now, let's put it another way, and I will not be wrong in saying it like this. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God's Word. I mean, if God and His Word are one, submit yourself, therefore, to God's Word. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, this concept revealed in this seventh verse would be true for anything that is not of God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God and His Word. Resist the sickness, and it will flee from you. Submit yourself, therefore, to God and His Word. Resist the poverty, and it will flee from you. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God and His Word. Resist the... Okay, now you fill in the blank, and it will flee from you. Resist, okay? What does that word resist say? It means that thing is trying to impose, quote, its will on you. You know, poverty wants to impose itself on you. Sickness, I mean, whatever it would be, resist it. Meaning, roll up your sleeves and go at it. Resist it. How? By first submitting to God and His Word. Then you put up the fight. Let me give you a natural example. You know, these things that we want changed, do we really resist them? Or do we accommodate them and wish something would change? Do we really resist? Do we resist that kind of, whatever it would be, the same way we would resist somebody trying to break through our front door? You know, if there's somebody standing outside your front door, they're saying, hey, bam, 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 pound, 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 kick, kick, kick. I'm going to come in there and I'm going to steal everything you have. And you say, oh, no, you're not. Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. You're going to stand there at that door, right? Or you're going to do what you can. Make sure that door is locked. Maybe put a chair up against it. You're going to do what you can to resist that person coming into your home, right? Well, what if the person makes it through the front door? You're going to say, man, I can't believe you made it in. All right, well, whatever. Sure going to miss that TV. Sure going to miss my jewelry and the watch. And I sure enough am going to miss my Keurig coffee maker. Oh, hallelujah. Now, what are you going to do? If that person makes it into your house, what are you going to do? You're going to fight, aren't you? I mean, you'll grab a 2x4, you'll grab a chair, you'll start throwing the plates and, you know, I mean, you're going to do whatever you can to drive that person out of your house. Well, hey, isn't your body the house of your spirit? It's no different. When sickness or whatever comes knocking on the door, when habits and behavior, when fear or frustration, anxiety or worry comes knocking, you have to resist. And God says, look, if you will submit yourself to me, submit yourself to my word, and then you put up the fight, you win. You win. Now, I admit, some fights may be a little more intense than others. And sometimes it may seem like the battle is taking too long. But one thing I know is this, God's word can't fail. His word will not fail. We may fail the application of the word, or fail to apply the word, but His word will not fail. I want you to think for a moment. You know, you don't have to respond out loud. But what do you think Satan's greatest accomplishment would be in a person's life? Well, Brother Martin, I think it would be sickness. Bad sickness, cancer, whatever. Somebody else might say, well, just tragedy. You know, the loss of family members, the house burning down or something, just a horrible tragedy. Well, I think, Brother Martin, it might be poverty, where you don't have a penny to squeeze. Somebody else might say, well, I think it'd be death. If Satan can kill you. No, you know what his greatest accomplishment is? Influencing you to not believe part or all of God's word. That is greatest accomplishment. Because if he can get you to not believe God's word, then those things which are in opposition to God's word are going to begin to operate in your life. So if he can get you to take a passive approach to, by Jesus' stripes ye were healed, why do you think the healing is going to manifest? If he can get you to exalt the poverty above the promises of blessing, why do you think that's going to change? His greatest accomplishment is to get believers to not be the believers they believe they are. And if he can get you... See, I can stand here and say, I believe that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. I firmly believe that. But if I don't take it beyond that and make it my lifestyle, then why do I think the power of that word is going to produce the healing in my body? Follow me? If, you know, I can become accustomed to barely getting by. Well, that doesn't line up with what God has said about supplying our need and For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. That doesn't, you know, the word of God. What is it there in what Psalm 34, I don't know, 10? You know, the young lions lack and, you know, suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Okay, you know, that is what God's word says. But if I become comfortable in a no word zone, then I won't see the word produce. What I'm trying to do here is encourage me and encourage you. The change we're seeking absolutely can happen. We can get to the place to where we don't need to be taking all kinds of pills and potions. We can get to the place to where we have enough to pay the bills and beyond. We can get to that place, but it's not up to us to perform the fixing. It's up to us to accept the word, capture the vision that the word paints, and make that our thought, our imagination, and our speech. When that happens, we are on the road to change. We are on the road to seeing promises manifested in our lives. And guys, I want to encourage you, you know, I don't know what it is you want to see changed, but are you willing to accept no change whatsoever? Or are you willing, I'll say it this way, the way, you know, folks in the world would say it, are you willing to go to your grave fighting for the change? Well, I lived to be 135 years old. The change never manifested, but glory to God, I never gave up hope. I never gave up my belief. I never changed my confession or my imagination. I never lined up with this, whatever it is I wanted to see change. I never came into agreement with it. I came into agreement with God's word. You understand what I'm saying? You know, fight to the end, as they say. But I'm telling you right now, we get this adjusted in our lives, and there are things that are going to change. Things will happen because that's the word of God. Praise the Lord. So guys, look, be encouraged. Whatever it is that you want to see changed, make that determination. You really want it changed, and get in there and find out what God's word has said about it, and then make that your imagination. Don't let the false imaginations, don't let your speech be filled with that which is contrary to what God has promised. Make the change. And it's a fight. It is a fight of faith. Because we're not trained to live this way. Even as Christians. Churches don't train us how to live this way. I mean, well, we do here. But most churches don't. Okay? Well, do it. Do it. Now, those of you that live with somebody, when they start talking about, or you're really good friends with someone, and they start talking about, you know, the bad thing, whatever it is they want changed, just ask them. Say, hey, is this what you're seeking? Is this how you're wanting to live the rest of your life? Well, no, it's not. Or you can say something like this. Well, is that what you want me to come into agreement with you about? Is that how you want me to come into agreement with you? And they're going to tell you, well, no. Well, then why in the world are you talking that way? Why are you declaring this? But it hurts. But it's not this and it's not that. Okay, I get it. I understand it. That there is such a thing as acknowledging what's going on, but then resist it, man. Resist it. Fight it. Submit yourself to God and His Word and resist this thing. And see God's word bring about change.